Aloha everyone, I'm your host, Christina Laney Mitri, and welcome to Smart Living Hawaii's podcast where we discuss smart homes and technology, sustainability, healthy lifestyles, and smart business. Today we will continue our Sustainable Leaders series and have a talk story with Daniel Donnell, the president of Trees for Honolulu's Future, a nonprofit that envisions a tree-filled island that preserves and enhances our quality of life, especially in the face of climate change. We will dive into the benefits of trees and how it affects our community, climate, and future. Aloha, Dan.
Well, great to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time and coming on into our office to do this podcast. So before we start, I usually start off with a quick bio. So I know that we have already mentioned that you're the president, but I also wanted to talk a little bit about what you've done in your past. So Dan's the former president of Hawaii Coffee Company, where he led the company to record sales volume and rebranded the Icon Lion Coffee brand. Previously, he worked for Hilton Grand Vacations and Hilton Hotels in positions in Tokyo, Los Angeles, and Honolulu. Born and raised in Honolulu, a product of the Hawaii Public Schools. What school did you go to?
Kalani.
Kalani High School. Donnell holds a BA in political science from Colorado College, and attended graduate school as a
Monbusho. We'll work on your Japanese Hatsuon.
scholar at the University of Tokyo. So let's begin. Your background growing up, what would you like to share with our listeners?
So I come from a big family, eight children in total, and youngest of eight. And as your very kind introduction indicated, born and raised in Honolulu. And it was kind of crazy because when you have so many siblings, there's always something going on. And we would laugh years later that we never had a dinner without something getting spilled. So it was really a good time. My mom used to just say, you know, kids would say, we're bored. And she'd say, run up to the park. And you'd go to the park and you'd play and you'd invent things. And you know, at the time when you're young, you don't really appreciate it, but open space, trees, grass, being outside is really, really important in your development.
Yeah. Quick snippet, since you mentioned that, when I did work in South Central, I worked with kids and they just had asphalt and they had, you know, up to 20 feet high, you know, chain link fences, and that was their playground. And so for a little field trip that we did for them, we took some of the students over to Whittier in a different like suburb and just to take them to a park. And the first thing they asked is, can we walk on the grass? And I was just like, what? So it's sad to see that kids these days, like, they don't get to necessarily, like in schools, get to play on a playground with grass and trees and stuff. So this is part of the thing that, you know, kind of touches home with me on different levels, but why we're diving into trees as well. There's so much more to get into on that. But what do you do for fun now?
So got a young son. I go to the park and play with him. He likes to run, which is great.
How old is he?
He's 7 years old. And the problem is he's now gotten to the time where he can beat me. So
at seven?
Yeah, at seven. So, well, certainly on the speed side. I think I got him on the endurance side. And it's as I said before, it's really important to get outside and move around. So I do that for fun. I like to run myself. And really, for me, and it sounds a little bit like a cliche, but lifelong learning is also really important for me. So I'm part of a book club and like to read new things and just talk stories. So even coming today is just for me a joy because I can learn something and I hope I can share something
awesome
as well.
Well, we're going to dive into the topic of trees. And since many of our listeners are green to green, they may not really know the importance of trees. I think you understand playing and running around and being under a tree at a park and everything, but they don't really actually know the true benefits of trees. Although you might have heard in social media or on anywhere over, you know, news or everything about planting trees, why we need to plant a billion trees or whatever. I don't think everybody really grasps the concepts and why, unless they dig a little deeper. So on the basic level, could you just give us some general understanding of all of this and why we're doing this?
That's a big, big hairy question there. And so,
but I'll help guide you with these questions.
Well, first, a shameless plug, which is go to our website, www.treesforhonolulu.org. Click on benefits. There's a wonderful paper there posted. It's not a hard read, but it outlines all the benefits of trees, and there are many. So I'll just highlight a few here, and we can dive into whatever you want to go deeper into. But, you know, the things we learned in elementary school, trees create oxygen, they sequester carbon, they provide shade, they keep temperatures down. You know, these are all very important sustainability issues. Water runoff. You think of trees as important for the land. Well, they're really important for the coral reefs, because as water runs off, you want to actually capture it on land and not have it run into the ocean. There's some surprising benefits of trees. One near and dear to your heart and maybe to some of your listeners are real estate values. Trees enhance real estate values, residential real estate, as well as commercial real estate. Because, you know, think about it. What would you rather have? A house that has wonderful trees, shade, and enjoyable, or one that's denuded, as you pointed out with your parks, or in a commercial district. You see this, you can just watch, here's a great example. Think of Kapi'olani Boulevard and the office rents and the retail rents between downtown and Ala Moana. Contrast that with between downtown and Keamoku on South King Street. Very, very different type of environment. And trees are the part that's different. We're talking about a two blocks away type situation. So lots and lots of benefits, and happy to dig into any more.
Could you explain the reef runoff, the reef protection and runoff from that?
Sure. So when it rains, built environment, things go into our storm drains, into our streams, and then run into the ocean. Trees and permeable surfaces help absorb that rain, so there's less runoff. So with that runoff comes pesticides, oils from the streets, things like that. And you'd much rather have those that water percolate into the ground, and then ultimately the islands are amazing because they cleanse the rainwater and it becomes part of our drinking water. So it's really, really important for trees to be a part of our urban ecosystem. And that's what we're very focused on. I mean, we love trees in the mountains and the forests, but Trees for Honolulu's future is very laser focused on the urban environment. Yeah.
So I know that we always grew up knowing that CO2, you know, with the trees and, you know, the everything, but now it's such a hot topic because we're talking about climate change mitigation and everything like that. So could you explain, maybe I have no idea, like what a certain size tree actually does, you know, how much it does, and like how many trees do we need to plant to, you know, really solve some problems and things like that.
So there was a real interesting United Nations report that just came out a couple weeks ago and worth Googling, where the scientists really believe planting a certain amount of acreage would really contribute to reducing the climate change and temperature increases. You know, you raised something very important, which is trees behave differently. So different kinds of trees have different kinds of benefits. For instance, a palm tree, which is a beautiful tree, very attractive, does not sequester as much carbon as, say, a monkey pod tree. And it is a function of the size of the trunk, the leaves, the branch, all the entire ecosystem. So, you know, that's important. And one of the projects that...
Shade too.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of monkey pod trees. We love those. One of the initiatives that we have, it's called Trees for Kaimuki. We're partnering with the city and county of Honolulu with Smart Trees Pacific, with the Outdoor Circle, and a really great community group called Citizen Envision Kaimuki. And we've got citizen foresters who are trained to go out in the community once a week, and they're recording the trees that are in the public domain, so the street trees in Kaimuki or in the trees in the park. And what's neat about it is we measure, I'm one of the volunteers, we measure the diameter of the trunk, we measure the canopy size, and then we identify the species of trees. It all goes into a database. Each tree has its own unique GPS locator number. And the algorithms behind this program will tell you the eco-benefits. So one of those benefits is the amount of carbon it sequesters. And there's a dollar value
Wow.
to that. So yeah, it's a public, publicly accessible database. I'll give you the link.
Is that what's on your site where you can actually register a tree that you've already had?
That's a little different, which is that's in support of Mayor Caldwell's call to have 100,000 trees planted by 2025.
Which we'll definitely talk about next.
So you can record that. But what I'm talking about, the Citizen Foresters, it's a program called pg-cloud.com/Hawaii. So it's
so
a mouthful.
All of these, I'll definitely have these links on the description for the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know when you're listening to a podcast, you're driving down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
The last thing you want is a URL that's 20 digits long.
Yeah, so actually, since you did bring up the mayor's commitments and things that he's been doing, I wanted to move into that next. So could you tell us a little bit more? Because the one thing that a lot of things that we cover, we even have a whole page on it for Smart Living Hawaii, is Hawaii Sustainable Initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them are, you know, the actual documents or the synopsis or what they're doing that you can learn more, because there's actually a lot going on within sustainable initiatives. So this was one I wanted to add to our list, so it'll be on the website as well. But could you talk about the commitment that the mayor has made to increase Honolulu's urban tree canopy to 35% by 2035?
So, yeah, absolutely. And really, I'd take a step back. It's not just the mayor. We citizens, we voted for a change in the city charter to stand up that Office of Resiliency and Sustainability. Mm-hmm. Personally, I voted for it, and I was totally surprised because I thought for sure the voters would be against it, because who wants more government, more offices? But several years back, the citizens voted for it, and I credit the mayor, being a smart politician. He sees, whoa, people want this. Get that office going, Josh Stanbro, mm-hmm. as the Chief Resiliency Officer. And for the mayor and for the city, it's not just words. They're actually trying to put it into action. And OLA, the report that the mayor unveiled earlier this summer, it has a whole multitude of actions mm-hmm. that are going to fundamentally change Hawaii for the better. And it really is a call to arms, because if we don't do these things, we're in a world of hurt.
Yes.
And I think that's really, really important. So credit not the politicians necessarily, I credit the citizenry for seeing a future that they don't like, and how are we going to change that? And then putting things in place. So the mayor is important to put that out, the stake in the ground with the 100,000 trees. The tree canopy goal is something that the city council actually codified in resolution as city policy. So that's really important, because sadly we've been losing canopy in the urban Honolulu area. And we know this through LIDAR, which is a way of doing aerial photography and knowing what each kind of element is. Huh. How much are buildings? How much are roads? How much is open green field? What rivers and lakes and so forth? And then also trees. So we measured in 2009 the tree canopy for Honolulu, and then again in 2013, and it declined. So we're really anxiously working with partners to get another LIDAR study of urban Honolulu, because we need to know, are we staying the same? Are we getting worse? Or are we actually getting better and heading towards that 35% goal?
What would you say we're at right now?
So latest data we have is from 2013, and it's at about 22% urban canopy. So we're And we're not good. One of the ways to think about it is, because it's a number, it's hard to get your head around. And I hope many of your listeners have been to Washington, D.C., city that we, most of us love, like to visit. That's 35%. Washington, D.C. is 35%. That's where we need to be. And when we're at 35%, we're not even, there's cities in the United States at 40, 50% tree canopy cover. So, but we're in the tropics. We're in the fast-growing environment. We're in a hot environment.
Right now,
we need these trees. So, you know, we've put that stake in the ground, and my organization and many, many other organizations are working to get to that
so
number.
I met you at another forum that we had, a sustainable forum, and had you come and speak, and you did talk, and I would love for you to mention this in the podcast, because you were talking about just the shade, just how much of a temperature difference. Like, could you explain that story that you guys actually did the temperature ratings?
Sure. So, you know, we just know this intuitively, but you can actually empirically measure it. So we took a place that was in Manoa and sidewalk, and under the tree, it was 9 degrees cooler than it was just out on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, very simple. The other day I was going on a walk, and I saw a woman waiting for the bus, and just the bench and the sidewalk, hot sun. She wasn't there. She was standing 2 feet back from the sidewalk on the grass under a tree.
Yeah.
Humans are telling us what they like. They don't want to sit in the hot sun.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd rather stand
further away
and wait for the bus. So yeah, that's it's very simply.
Well, it is extremely hot and humid in the last, I would say, month or so, and I can only see it getting worse. But I'm also pregnant, and I'm like, wow, I really feel this heat more than, and I don't know if it's me or if it's, but everybody's saying it. So I'm like, it's, and when you're in the shade, I'm like, I always look now, can I walk in the shade? Where's the shade? Can I go under the streets?
Well, congratulations on your pregnancy. Yeah. And think about it. You know, what kind of world do you want your child to have?
Yeah.
And we're
in Hawaii. We are in Hawaii, so.
Record hot July.
Yes.
So, and it's only going to get worse. You know, another plug for the city office of, and it's a mouthful, resiliency, sustainability, on and on, is they just recently did some heat mapping.
Oh, they did?
So what they got volunteers, and they had routes, I think about a dozen routes, and they went out on a Saturday morning, and then again at noon, and then again at 6 p.m., with this little device on the car that measures the temperature every 2 seconds. And so as they're moving along between the device measuring the temperature and the GPS, they're going to be developing heat maps. And this is going to help show us where Honolulu is hot, what retains the heat, because that's a problem as well.
Where we should put the trees?
Yeah, where we should, and yeah, we can overlay those aerial maps and see, like, well, where the trees are, it's cooler. And mm-hmm. and an important part, you know, and think about this, in a built environment, it's the sun is beating down all day. It's really, really hot in the afternoon. The sun sets, it's still hot mm-hmm. because the concrete retains that heat. And this is why they measured it at 3 different times of the day. Mm-hmm. So fascinating data collection. I haven't seen the report yet, but when it comes, people should pay attention to it.
So, with the 100,000 trees, and that's by 2025.
That's correct.
Right? Where are we now at that, and where are we planting? How are they doing it?
So, it's really about lots of people doing lots of things. There's a terrific professor at the University of Hawaii, Dr. Camilo Mora. He is gearing up in late October with Kupu and other partners to plant 10,000 trees in a single day. So,
what is this?
It's Dr. Mora.
No, but do you know do they have a date yet?
Oh, yeah, it's October 26th, I believe.
Huh.
I'll have to look. Yeah, I will. I can send you the links. And, you know, what Dr. Mora has did in last year, I mean, he's the real deal. He did 1,000 trees last year in a single day. And this is hard work because you need to actually propagate the seeds to get saplings. And, you know, and he's got at the Magoon Research Station at University of Hawaii Manoa, he's got 11,000 plants growing as we speak.
And how big are they when they're planting them?
They're just a couple inches tall.
Oh, they're not that
big. Yeah, they're not huge. Well, because it takes time.
Yeah.
But he's developed some techniques that will help. And this is super, super important. And if there's one takeaway for your listeners, it's not enough just to plant the trees. We need to malama them. We need to care for them.
Maintain
them. So, you know, it's wonderful to go out and buy a tree and plant it. But I really implore people to think about it. And we talk about this on our website, right tree, right place, right care. And so what I mean by that is the right tree, first of all. So don't plant a tree that needs a lot of water in a really hot dry area. There's trees that will be more appropriate in that hot, dry area. Plant those trees. So the appropriate tree. Another reason for appropriateness, don't plant that banyan tree right next to the sidewalk. It's going to crack the sidewalk as, you know, the extensive root system goes up. So, you know, there are experts out there who can help. And on our website, we're developing tools to help people identify what's appropriate. You know, I have this 20 square foot space and I live in a wet area and it's 15 feet away from my house foundation. Oh, and by the way, it's underneath some power lines. Okay, that's going to tell you,
like,
you know, don't plant a tree that's going to be really tall or, you know, that kind of thing. So the right tree, the right place, those two things are really important, but the right care too, because a tree needs a lot of care, just like a child.
Especially
in the early childhood development, this is when you're going to set that child on the right path. And it's not to say that they don't need care after they turn 5 years old, you know, but the trees will just need pruning and other types of care. But that first couple years, that's what's really, really important. So right tree, right place, right care.
Okay, that's good to know. And then when it comes to the different current initiatives that you guys are working on, I know that you mentioned the Trees for Kaimuki. I was stalking your website so I can have things to talk about.
You should have been pressing that donate now button. Let's see the money flowing in.
And, exactly.
501c3.
I'm a nonprofit too, so we need
501c3, folks.
So we have, I guess there was Arbor Day, and then you have the tree tracker too. So if you want to elaborate more on some of the things that you do.
First off, and you did a great job in the introduction, our vision is for a tree-filled island. So how are we going to do it? Our mission is really three-pronged. One is education, what we're doing here, talking about the benefits of trees, why trees, and so forth. The second is to coordinate and different parties who may or may not talk to each other, the folks at the city, they might not know the nonprofits who are in the communities. The arborists might not know the CEOs of different corporations. And so that coordination is really important. That's a part that we do. And then the facilitation of other activities. So on our website, we're happy to promote whether it's Dr. Mora and his plantings or healthy climate communities in the Kailua and Hamakua Marsh area and what they're doing. We want to facilitate others' activities. So we're happy to promote everybody doing these things that are going to make a tree-filled island. So we've got a lot cooking that we're doing, but just as importantly, we've got a lot that we're promoting others and what they're up to.
So Kaimuki and what you're doing there, it's almost like a pilot. Is that the plan?
That's correct. So Trees for Kaimuki is really about focusing in on a defined geographic area, engaging with the community. And this goes to my earlier point about care. It's not going to do us any good if the city just goes in and digs some holes and plants some trees in front of people's houses. The residents might not want it or like it. So we're engaging with residents who will actually then raise their hand and say, hey, I'll take care of that tree in front of my property. City, you come in, you plant it, I'll take care of it. So that's a really important aspect. And also by looking at a specific geographic area, we can then make a demonstrable impact. And so then the idea is take it to Kalihi, take it to Waipahu, take it to other communities, and let's engage with the community. And what would be wonderful is if the community start raising their hand and say, hey, we want some of what Kaimuki got. Mm-hmm. And that's really success in my mind.
Yeah. And then what are you doing, I guess, within the schools for the keiki?
So schools are very important aspect because they've got land, and they also have just a lot of children with an education mission. So we're engaged with the DOE. There's other groups out there who are also doing activities and plantings with the DOE, and more to come. I think one of the challenges, to be very frank with the Department of Education, is a challenge that is, I think, my entire lifetime, which is it's big. It's a big bureaucracy. And how do you penetrate that and make change? And, you know, you also, the same way a homeowner who's not part of a process might resent something, that janitor who's in charge of cutting the grass and maintaining it may resent someone just coming in and planting a tree and so forth, because all of a sudden he or she's, you know, charged with maintaining the property. So we are talking with the DOE. There's a lot of real exciting things, because think about it, you can not just plant a tree, but you can educate children.
Yeah, so is there any programs with the keiki that you guys have set up already?
Nothing set up, but we are talking with the DOE.
That would be great.
Yeah, and there's a lot of potential. I want to highlight an initiative that is at its very embryonic stage. Your baby will be here before we are. But we just, excitingly, we just got a grant from Kaulunani grants that the Department of Land and Natural Resources administers. And it's working with the Honolulu Theater for Youth on a play about trees. And
interesting.
Yeah, so what really got this going is, and I love HTY, they're so creative, and they put on original productions. Korean Cinderella is on right now. I would encourage you to attend if you're so inclined. But Shaka was one that was that stood out in my mind a couple of years back about electricity and Hawaii in the future and renewable energy. You know, so they took all of these things that your podcast talks about, and figured out a creative way to communicate it to their target audience, which is young people, elementary school age children and their families. So we just got a small grant to work with HTY on developing a theatrical treatment for trees.
Awesome.
And yeah, well, thank you. It's
that'll be interesting. I'll take my daughter.
It's going to be great. We just haven't done it yet. And what really prompted that was a article in Civil Beat that Trees for Honolulu's Future, our founding president emeritus, my dad, Tom Donnell, wrote, which was the benefits of trees from the perspective of a tree. So the tree spoke. And so that's what got me thinking, hey, maybe there could be a play. Maybe there's a talking tree. And anyway, so creative energies yet to come.
Isn't there a book like that? What's that book called?
Well, there's The Giving Tree,
yeah, right?
Which is a fabulous book. You should, you know, all listeners who are going to be at the baby shower, take tree books. But The Giving Tree is a wonderful book. And yeah. The tree gives and gives for that little boy.
That's right. I totally remember that. That's
yes.
So cute. So how do you get a tree planted on city land? Or if you're, like you said, that they are looking to do this, and let's say there's someone very interested or they would be willing, like they're going to raise their hand, what do they do?
So in Kaimuki, we've got this engagement process that's working. But if you're not in that Kaimuki area, the best thing to do would be to contact the Division of Urban Forestry. And we've got the link on our website. And then just recently, I got introduced to this 311 app. I don't know if you've heard about it, but people can download it. And it's actually the way you can interface with the city on myriad issues. So, you know, whether it's your garbage pickup or maybe it's a non-emergency complaint with police or so
flat
forth.
Flat tire?
And I've actually, flat tire potholes would be a good example.
Or how about screws? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We'll say that
So this 311 app, I give the city a lot of credit. I actually used it because I heard about it. I was like, really? So I downloaded it. And in Manoa, there was a tree, Manoa where I live, there was a tree that was damaged by, ironically, the crew that came in to prune the trees. But anyway, and I posted a picture on our Instagram account. And it's just terrible. I'm not an arborist. I look at that and I'm like, this tree is going to die. Because as if the branch was just ripped off. And so I took it in this 311 app. You can take a picture, you can attach it. There's actually one of the 20 or so drop down boxes is tree maintenance. And so I just clicked on
that. Sometimes they fall, right?
And then
you have to report me help.
That would be more an emergency especially if it was blocking. This wasn't an emergency. This is just sad tree going to die. Want you aware of it. So I used this app to report it, and I could have called the people or emailed the people I know at Division of Urban Forestry, but I wanted to see, does it actually work?
Right?
And so I got a phone call last week.
Long did it take?
It took it was certainly under 10 business days. I would say maybe like 5 business days or so. It wasn't like instantaneous. I want to really temper your excitement. But I got a call back from a person in the urban forestry saying, hey, they got my complaints / input. They saw the tree. Yeah, it looked like the tree trimmers who went out there on this assignment damaged the tree. They're going to remove it and then they're going to plant a new one. And so one small victory. I think the sad part, of course, is if the tree hadn't been damaged in the first place, then we wouldn't have needed
this. Well, I mean, there could be a lot of things that would be a reason why to, you know.
So the same app, so now I'm getting really excited. Also in my neighborhood, not in Kaimuki, I see like three planting locations. And so I use that 311 app to say, take a picture and say, hey, I think you could have a tree here. We're talking about a sidewalk median and then a traffic kind of triangle. Sadly, I haven't got a response yet, but it hasn't been 10 business days. So I'm hoping to get a response and we'll see. But I think the city, of course, they can speak for themselves, but they have a reluctance to just go out and plant the tree unless, again, they know somebody is there that can help care for it, because they don't have the resources to go around and water all the trees in those very important early years of its life. So I encourage your listeners, download the 311 app anyway, just to see what's on it, but try it out.
So how can you explain how you decide what trees to plant and where?
So,
I know that's a loaded question.
Yes. So the most important thing is I don't decide. We blessed on the board of Trees for Honolulu's Future. We have several certified arborists. They're amazing. They can look at the environment. They can look at the soil. They can, this tree isn't going to make it here, or this is going to cause problems 10 years from now. So that's the first advice. Know what you don't know. And mm-hmm. I do not know enough about trees to know what to plant where. So talk with an arborist who can help guide you. That's really, really, really the most important thing to do.
Okay, and how much does it cost to plant a tree? Like, and then, the life of maintaining it, is there some kind of number that someone has, generally speaking?
Good question.
Like to do 100,000 of them?
Yeah. Well, and I should be clear, the 100,000 trees is not just the city planting. They're counting on homeowners and others, community groups and others. I planted an avocado tree in my backyard.
So 900.
Yeah, exactly. So one less tree. I did go on the site and register my tree too. So it depends. If you're planting, in my case, the avocado tree was free because my neighbor gave it to me. But if you go out to a nursery and it was just engaging with a University of Hawaii professor, and, he wants a 5 to 7 foot co tree, and, it's going to cost you some money. And in general, the bigger the tree, the more expensive it is. But also you'll kind of get a bigger head start on the tree life, although there's other issues there. Then again, an arborist will tell you about the roots and so forth. If the tree gets too big and you try and replant it, it can be problematic. So the initial cost of the tree, it depends. And then you'll want to, get things to make the soil better, fertilizer and so forth. So, I'd say a rule of thumb for a homeowner might be like $100 or so to when you think about all your costs, you got to dig the hole and so forth. And this is, you're doing it yourself. If you hire someone, like the city contractors will be about $600 to dig the hole, to, buy the tree. And they're not planting like a,
but does
6-inch.
The city pay for that themselves?
So the city will get landscape companies to come in and do planting. So, but you're talking, the saplings probably 3-4 feet tall.
Yeah, they're already,
and
a little.
Yeah, and they're also going to make sure that they're not, and this is really important, not to just plant a tree and it's going to die 15 days later. So they'll guarantee that you'll get it up to the first 60 days of its life and so forth. So that's really important. And then the ongoing costs, it depends. You got water, if you need to water the tree. And, ultimately, again, depends on the type of tree, but you've got to prune it. Are you doing it yourself? We've got some great advice on our website on how to prune properly, because it's not helpful to just cut branches willy-nilly. But you can hire someone to do it,
exactly.
and that can be expensive. But all that aside, whether it's $100, $600, whatever, the benefits of the trees, and this has been empirically proven, about 3 times more benefit than cost. Mm-hmm. So back to what I was talking about earlier with the citizen foresters, they go out into the community, measure these trees, and we can monetize, we can identify that tree produces $300 of value. And it might cost the city or the homeowner $100 a year in water and pruning and other things, but that's the general rule of thumb. The tree will return 3 times more benefit than its cost.
Awesome. So I did want to dive into a couple things that I guess, would be more partnerships or ways to work with you. So I actually just helped with the charter of an eco-rotary we just started.
I have not heard of an eco-rotary. The tables will turn. Tell me more what that is.
So we just started an eco-rotary in Kakaako. So it is in Honolulu. And it's really focused on environment, of course. And there's only a few of them international-wise. And I was really interested in this because of sustainability, of course. But in addition to that, which I found out, and I didn't know very much about Rotary, but of course there are a lot of volunteers doing great work for the community. So this one is just hyper focused on the environment and, you know, climate change and things to better where we live. So this one specifically, I know trees and planting trees is a topic of discussion for our group. So I definitely will reach out to you, but ways that maybe our group can work, not only with, I think part of it with this Eco Rotary is that the other Rotaries, we have, I think, over 50 of them statewide, that they are doing a lot of social work and different types of community service. But when it comes to the environment, some of the newer things that haven't been done yet, that's common, you know, that's not common for them to do all the time. They're interested in it. So they're coming to us and asking, what kind of environmental things can we help with? Or if you put something together, we'll jump on board, whether it's funding or whether it's, you know, working together and, you know, having more volunteers. So I'll definitely come to you with a project probably in the near future on that one. So stay tuned. But I would love to know the different types of things that we could do. And even if you already have things lined up and planned and then you need some volunteers, that's also where we're an outlet that we can, you know, either solicit for volunteers or partner with you in some way. So that's
That's terrific.
Maybe you might want to join, or someone from your group may be interested in joining our Rotary.
Well, I've not been a Rotarian, but I do know the Rotary clubs are full of passionate people.
Yeah.
They are driven, and they're not talkers, they're doers.
Yes, they
so are. This is really exciting. And
well, to make it even more exciting, which I didn't know until we started this up, is that the International Rotary Conference is actually coming to the Hawaii Convention Center in June 2020. So that is a big thing, and they have made a very big effort to move into having it be more eco-focused and things like that too. So I'm really excited to see, because we're looking at 17 to 25,000 Rotarians coming to Hawaii, and I know a lot of them will want to be doing good stuff. Projects that we can work on, and maybe this might be one of them. We can get all of these Rotarians to come and plant a whole bunch of trees in June.
We'll look forward to that. And then June's not the best time to plant trees in Hawaii.
That could be true, but that aside,
there's ways to channel this real energy and this real need, so we can figure it out, you know.
Or even doing the research or finding, like, we can.
When you talk about Rotary too, it's a global organization, and that's what's really impactful too about trees. You know, sometimes cities or you know, famous people. I know that the Emperor of Japan came to Hawaii and visited the tree that he and his wife had planted during their honeymoon, you know, 40 years prior, whatever, you know, and it was like friendship. Like, this tree from Japan came to Hawaii, was planted in Kapi'olani Park, you know, things like that create emotional bonds between people. And Rotary is that same kind of power. And then, too, what we're facing here, just the big picture, we're spending a lot of time talking about Hawaii, but big picture, this is a global issue. And,
correct.
You know, the Amazon and the burning and clearing, you know, we're all connected. And the solutions are going to have to take global action
well. The thing about Rotary, which is very neat, and I didn't know it either, is if you know, we start a project here and it is something international, we could partner and it could be a really big thing. And when you do get the international involved, then there is a lot more funding that comes into place to make a huge impact, much bigger than you could possibly think because of the funds that they have. So we're really excited to get this up and running, and I'm working on their membership chair side, so I will probably...
So you're already trying to sign me up once.
I'm already trying to sign you up, but I think it'll be a great... This will be a great project, you know, to also work with, you know, and that's the whole point of what we're doing is we want to partner with all of these different organizations that are really helping Hawaii's future. So that's a big thing. Another thing I also do is I have a hiking group, and we do a lot of different hikes. Back in the day, I was actually a team leader for one of Kupu's, actually before then, it was Hawaii Youth Conservation Corps, in Maui for the summer. And so we actually had the opportunity to go to a lot of Dielanora, all these different places, learn about the different types of plants, what's invasive and what's not, and things like that. So my husband was just saying is, why don't we host something, some kind of hike? We're actually on a hike. It's a smaller group, but where we're with an arborist or somebody that could like have three different sections. So one would be, you know, invasive and native species or plants, you know, and that would be like the main focus. And another one would be maybe on like the Hawaiian birds, and one on, you know, just the insects or something, like where it's a series and we are working with other groups. So one would be, you know, reaching up to you on the arborist side.
Absolutely.
Finding somebody that would go on a hike with us, okay. Maybe partnering with the Sierra Club or somebody else. I don't personally have my own club. I just have a group on Facebook. But to where it's a small enough group, I'd love to do like video of it and, you know, do the whole thing. But then also so we could share it. But then also it'd be an interesting experience for people.
Well, yeah, I would be happy to reach out to see which arborist also wants the hike and what would be of interest. And you raise a really important point in Trees for Honolulu's Future. We're pro trees. And what I mean by that, they're groups who are very much focused on native trees.
Yeah.
And we salute that. We respect it. We absolutely celebrate it. But we also feel you've got to have all kinds of trees. And it's important
for... the setting.
Yeah. It's important because of the setting. It's also important because you don't want to create a monoculture of trees, because then when a disease comes, it can wipe out, and ohia rust is a good example of this. You know, you want a diversity of trees, and the forests are different than the lowlands.
Yeah, with jungle.
Right, so you know, I there are people like, oh, I hate monkey pods. Well, you know, the monkey pods on Kapi'olani Boulevard really provide a great canopy and shade and some of the benefits we talked about before. And for that setting and that environment, they're appropriate.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not advocating for, oh, let's go up into the forest reserve and plant monkey pod trees. Not a good idea. But I really want to stress, we believe there's a lot of room for every kind of tree that's appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the last thing I had, I wasn't able to attend the conference that you guys had in 2018.
Darn it! What was wrong?
I had no idea about it.
Okay.
But as I was on your website, like I said, I was reading about it and it looked really interesting. And I was wondering, is this something you will do regularly, or was this more to get everything running and started?
So you sound like one of our board members who said, when are we going to put on another conference at a recent board meeting? And I will be give you an evasive answer, which is we may do another conference or we may not. The purpose of that particular conference was well served, which was to bring people together who had some touch of trees. And the exciting part is that the outcome were people saying, wow, I've never seen that such and such here, a tree conference. So what had happened up until that conference, people, different groups had their own little discussions and they talk basically,
you have a tree hui.
Yeah, basically amongst themselves. So if you were a planner, you did, you know, American Planning Association, Hawaii chapter, you might have been talking about climate change or landscaping or whatever. If you were an arborist, you were talking Aloha Arborist Association, good groups, but they weren't talking to each other necessarily. So that conference, and what we're trying to do is we're not trying to replace anybody.
Exactly.
There's lots it's of organizations that are doing good work. What we're trying to do is to connect people and connect organizations. And that's what that conference did very well. And in fact, Sharon Snyder, who is the convener of Envision Kaimuki, she was at that conference, and Trees for Kaimuki came out of that conference.
Awesome.
Because she was thinking, hey, I got this community group, want to do something. How do I put the pieces together? Mm-hmm. So whether we have another conference or not, I don't know. But what I do know is that conference helped connect some folks. Tree people. And that's a good thing. So
yeah. Well,
more to come.
That's definitely what we're trying to accomplish with Smart Living Hawaii. One of our goals is collaboration. So what I'm starting to see with all the different sectors of sustainability is that they are doing just what you're doing. They're putting a conference together that gets all of the same people with the same visions and the same movements in one place and figure out how they can master it and do it better. But once it gets to that place, the next step is then integrating with the other sectors. So that's where I feel I'm trying to then have the sectors, you know, connect with each other. And then also the third part is to get the community and education for them that they're attending these, you know, conferences, and that more people besides just the people that are already rooting for that specific sector or that specific, you know, mission. It's not the same people all the time, because right now this is new for you guys that you guys all got together. But some of these, like energy, and if you're like in certain environmental groups and things like that, it's the same people that show up every time, and they're eager to just have new people come in, you know, and new bodies and new people that are caring about the causes. So that's the next thing. And what we're trying to help is to bring the people that, you know, maybe don't know anything about it. They might be interested. And if they can start attending some of these conferences and some of these, you know, symposiums or whatnot, then they'll get more involved.
Exactly.
So that's the goal. So I think you should have a conference, okay, but it should expand to the public, maybe.
Well, the public was definitely invited, and some just kind of, I don't mean it as a pejorative sense, but some average citizens came too, which is great.
Awesome.
You know, there's no pre-qualification to care.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, trees that just, I don't want to oversell it, but so obvious the benefits of trees that people get it.
And it's so obvious but overlooked.
Yes.
Yes. So, well, thank you so much. I would like to wrap this up before we hit the hour. And thank you so much for coming and talking with me today. And thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast at www.smartlivinghi.com. Also follow us on Instagram at @smart_living_Hawaii. And like us on Facebook. Mahalo. Until next time, live smart.
Aloha.
Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.